Good morning, everyone. My name is Reverend George Buchanan. I'm your consulting minister while Melissa's off enjoying time with the baby. I talked to her and she wants you to know that she and the baby and her partner Evan are doing just fine. And the baby's name is Jalen, if any of you are wondering. Jalen. All right. If this is Rylan. Rylan, thank you. See, that was a test, just to see if you're awake.
Whenever we gather for multi-generational worship, it's become our tradition to say the children's chalice lighting. But, you know, we have been blessed with so many new people and new children this fall that I thought we would take a moment to learn this chalice lighting, to make sure that we all know it. So I'll teach you. I'll just walk through it first, and you can just watch me. So we say that we light this chalice and we make our hands look like a chalice because we're Unitarian Universalists, and these are the two U's. This is the Church of the Open Mind. First we close our mind, then we open our mind. This is the Church of the Helping Hands. Our hands are out and ready to serve. This is the Church of the Loving Heart. So let's say this together. We light this chalice because we're Unitarian Universalists. This is the Church of the Open Mind. This is the Church of the Helping Hand. This is the Church of the Loving Heart.
2 years ago, well, maybe 15, a girlfriend asked if she could travel with me when I went back to England. I explained to her that I would be spending quite a bit of time with family. It would not all be sightseeing. She said she would love to meet my parents. When we arrived, we were greeted warmly and invited to sit down to dinner. My mom was a great cook, so the meal was delicious. However, it did not take long before I started to feel a bit upset. My mom was doing what she always did at mealtimes, frequently asking if we had enough food, whether it was too hot or too cold, or were we sure we did not want a bit more? To me, it felt like all the other times that I could feel myself losing patience with my mother. But talking with my friend later was really helpful. She had lost her parents in a car crash when she was a teenager. She thought, I was so lucky to have a loving family. When I saw what I saw as annoying fussing, she saw as my mother expressing love and care. And that change of view made all the difference. Come, let us worship together.
Before we begin our prayer, I want to take a minute to talk about being grateful and giving thanks. So when I'm grateful, I'm thankful or thankful, and those mean the same thing. I'm glad about something that I have in my life, and I know that I didn't make. For example, I'm grateful for this warm, strong building we have here today. Other people made this building and have been keeping it going for many, many years, and I'm grateful for this. I'm also grateful to all of you who are better at remembering baby names than I am. Thank you. I'll get it right the next time. And there's some things that happen in my life that I don't like. And we all have these. So when we talk about being grateful and being thankful for some things today, we know there's other parts of our lives that leave us sad or angry or upset. And there's lots of these sad parts we can't change. However, if we're sad about the way our close friends and family are being, often we can make this better. And this is something we can do. And that's what we're talking about here today. How we can make things better with the people who are close to us. So the energy we get from our warm feelings of gratitude and thankfulness, we can apply those energies to helping us become better families and better friends, coming together for the good of all. With that said, please join me in a spirit of prayer and reflection, and we'll have a brief few moments of silence after that. Great Spirit of life, ever present everywhere, we recognize the joys and sorrows of all those gathered here today. For those who are feeling sad, may we extend a caring hand to let them know they are not alone. May we find the courage to change what must be altered, serenity to accept what cannot be helped, and the wisdom to know one from the other. Amen. And now it's time to start our bread communion service. And I see that we have at least one gift of bread in the congregation. Does anybody else have bread that they brought with them? What we had was a bunch of people who brought it beforehand, and it's all ready to go. So please put your gift up there. We very much appreciate it. Thank you. Karen.
Our bread that we will be sharing this morning are gifts from the members of our community. And in a few moments, Maya Klein, Elena Klein, and William Lang will be distributing the bread among you. And if you need gluten-free bread, that's in the baskets with the yellow towels, and Elena will be passing that out. So please raise your hand if you're going to be needing gluten-free bread. And we're inviting each person to take one or two pieces of the bread, but don't eat it just yet. Just hold it, please.
Oh, the way we share this bread today and the work of this service, these are symbols of the kind of sharing going on in our families and among our close friends. We give, we receive, we share the work, and we find ways to meet together for the good of all.
Here's the music of our own Golden Tones Choir, and this serves as a musical blessing on the bread we serve today.
Are in the bread and
Does everybody have a piece of bread? Who wishes one? Anybody not? Okay. What I'd like to do is what's called a mindfulness meditation. And don't start yet, but I'm going to ask you to, and we'll take a whole minute to do this, to eat your piece of bread mindfully. And what that means is you don't pay any attention to anything else. You just pay attention to eating the bread very slowly, noticing how it tastes, noticing how it feels on your tongue, noticing how it smells, and just do that and enjoy it. So I'm giving you a whole minute of pure joy as you eat this piece of bread. Did anybody already eat their piece and need some more? Okay, go ahead.
A therapist I know was treating a woman who'd had a serious stroke and was suffering from aphasia, difficulty in speaking. She didn't seem too troubled by it, but her family considered it a great tragedy. As a young Jewish woman, her verbal ability was a great gift. It had even saved her life. She spoke 5 languages and survived the Holocaust by becoming a translator for the Nazis in a concentration camp. After the war, she moved to the United States and supported her family teaching foreign languages. Now she struggled for words, and her adult children were constantly jumping in to help by filling in her words. The stroke had changed her in other ways, too. Cold and distant as a mother, the stroke had left her very physically affectionate. She constantly touched her children. However, they were so caught up in the loss of her speaking ability that they didn't recognize that what they were now receiving from her was the kind of affection that they had longed for all their lives. The therapist taught them that whenever they found themselves frustrated by her lack of verbal skills, instead of trying to fill in her words, to take a breath and really notice her loving them through her touch. This allowed the woman to have the space she needed to speak, and the children to appreciate the love that was coming from their mother.
Thanks, Trish. This morning we're taking a special offering to support relief efforts in the part of the Philippines that was ravaged by the giant typhoon. And our donations will go to a joint UUA-UUSC Emergency Relief Fund. And you can look it up online, and you'll get a lot more details about it. But just to let you know, the UUSC is our denomination's relief organization, international service organization. And they've been established in the Philippines for a long, long time, focusing their work on supporting the most vulnerable, including women and children, particularly, and farmers and fishing folk in rural parts of the Philippines. So they will be sending your relief dollars through this fund directly to help those most vulnerable and most affected. Some of you know that our churches, that our denomination is associated with a group of Universalist congregations in the Philippines, and those folks were not in the affected areas, and so those Universalist congregations have also been contributing to this fund. So I ask you to be as generous as you can within your means. The ushers will now pass amongst you to receive your offering.
Where hate rules, let us bring love. Where sorrow, joy.
Let us strive more to comfort others than to be comforted, to understand others than to be understood, to love others more than to be loved.
For it is in the giving that we receive, and in the pardoning that we are pardoned.